Good morning, Tess. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great, and big fan of 2SER, so always a pleasure.
Oh, very good to have you on. So to start off with, when we talk about the kinds of issues that remote Indigenous communities have, they often stem from a lack of services, including, you would imagine, the internet. But firstly, could you tell us how communities are actually taking to mobile technology?
Yeah, what we've found is that Aboriginal people living in remote communities are what we would call mobile-only users. There are a number of reasons for that, largely to do with billing and home internet services not really conforming or working in with the kinds of economic systems that you see in remote communities. But prepaid is easy for people. So we've seen a rapid rise in internet take-up where mobile broadband has arrived. And as a result, most people are accessing the internet only through mobile devices.
So when we talk about cyber safety, are these the same kinds of issues that young people all over Australia are facing, or are there some unique concerns for Indigenous youth?
Look, I think there are definitely some unique concerns. What we've identified so far in this project, out of the first year of a two-year project, is that the way that people share devices can have some pretty unique outcomes, and not all of them positive. Of course, there are positive things with sharing devices, and that can include, you know, if you're in an emergency and you need to be able to get in touch with someone or look something up, particularly when you're living in a very remote area, it's great to have that kind of ability to say to anyone within your kinship network, can I use your device? And they will feel obliged to give it to you. But it can also, I suppose, have problems in that devices were not necessarily designed for multiple people using them. They're designed for individual use. So if you have a device which might not be very well password protected, including social media accounts which might not have proper settings on them, people can get into your accounts very easily. And that's causing issues with people getting into other people's social media accounts. Some of the other things we're seeing is particularly young people transferring credit from older people's phones. For instance, you know, taking their grandma's phone and transferring the credit somewhere. Suddenly grandma doesn't have any money on her phone. But also things like, I suppose, just cyberbullying. And they become particularly problematic when that type of behaviour oversteps cultural protocols. So the real issues that we're seeing, it's not necessarily that the activities are different, it's that they're caused by different things, for instance, the sharing of devices, and most importantly, that the consequences can be different from mainstream Australia. So by that, I mean that because of the particular relatedness that you have in remote communities, what starts as a small incident between two teenagers, you know, doing cyberbullying, can escalate into a whole family feud quite quickly. And that can mean violence.
So issues in Indigenous mental health, I mean, we've already sort of seen they're absolutely at crisis level in this country. It is really unfortunate. But do we see some of the way that technology can be used actually exacerbating that?
Yeah, look, again, I think the issue can involve cultural protocols, which I don't necessarily understand. My colleague Tyson Younger-Porter would be better qualified to talk on this. But, you know, for instance, some of the systems which have, you know, carried through from pre-settler times around how to deal with problems in the community, that can mean, you know, someone's banished from town, for instance. And we saw that that type of mechanism used in Tennant Creek, for instance. But one of the outcomes of that can mean social isolation as a result. So if, say, a young woman might have an interesting term was called top shot, which I've never heard before, but, you know, a kind of topless photo posted by someone else, and that can have consequences for her, which might mean that she's isolated or excluded from her social world. at least for a time. And other studies have shown that there are links to suicide as a result.
So, I mean, now that I guess the internet and access to it is being seen more and more as a pretty standard human right and less as a toy, what steps do you think actually need to be taken to better protect those in remote communities who are accessing this new and really rapidly changing technology?
It's a really difficult one. I think the first steps are probably that elders and older people generally need to have some training around how to use phones, to understand privacy settings, and to understand how people are using social media so that they can take initiatives themselves around how to deal with it. And some Indigenous organisations are out there doing that kind of digital literacy training, which is really important. I think perhaps, you know, as the technology itself evolves and we have better ways of being able to do identity verification, for instance, or better privacy settings, some of these issues might be minimised, possibly. That's hard to say. But I think the really essential thing is that these problems don't stop people from using the internet, because when you live in a remote community, you know, having access to online banking, for instance, is really empowering. You know, there was an article in I think it was the Adelaide Advertiser a few weeks ago about a case where a white non-Indigenous shop owner had been exploiting the local community through a system called BookUp, where shop owners kind of write down transactions and access people's accounts and the like. So to be able to give individuals the ability to manage their own finances and not be worried about other people in their family being able to access their money is really important. So there are digital inclusion issues. So digital inclusion is not just about whether you have access to the internet or not. It's also about the kinds of uses and the social context, which is assisting you or preventing you from making the most of online opportunities.
Well, Ellie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thanks, Tess.